Welcome to Just a Minute. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome not only our listeners throughout the world, but also the four exciting and distinctive personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. We welcome back with great pleasure that distinctive anarchic humorist Paul Merton, that individual entertaining humorist Tony Hawks, that golden oldie humorist Derek Nimmo, and a charming, delightful, humorous actress, Blythe Duff. Would you please welcome all four of us? As usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Beside me sits Linda Copley. She's going to help me keep the score. She'll hold the stopwatch. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Students' Union, the debating chamber at Glasgow University, where we are delighted, after the pleasure and joy we had a number of weeks back, to be invited back again. And we have before us an entirely different and vociferous audience. Oh, thank you for the warmth of your reception. It's a joy to be here. And let us begin the show with Tony Hawks. Tony, a university life. Tell us something about that subject in just a minute, starting now.
A university life. Get up at 11 a.m., watch the Teletubbies, go back to bed, pack your briefcase.
Paul Merton's challenge, or is it?
Deviation.
What?
The Teletubbies all at 10 o'clock.
It's very interesting. Everybody applauded because you all know it's on at 10 o'clock, so you must listen to it.
They're not idiots. They video it from the day before.
Paul, that was a deviation. So you have a correct challenge. You have a point for a correct challenge, and you take over the subject. There are 54 seconds left. A university life, starting now.
When I left school, I didn't really fancy going to university, so I didn't. But I suppose now, looking back on it, I rather wish that I had. It seems like very good fun. You just get drunk, basically, don't you? And have a good time. And a lot of people make solid friends for the rest of their lives where they meet them at university. I mean, there's lots of people in show business, for example, who went to Oxford and Cambridge, known as... Yes, absolutely. Absolutely dreadful people. And they've made friends for a life. But repeat it.
Tony Hawk's challenge.
A repetition of friends.
Yes, you did repeat friends before the subject. I know we associate that with university life. But that was repetition, so Tony's got the subject back. He has 27 seconds. A university life, Tony, starting now.
I believe there is a tradition of university life here at the University of Glasgow called Darth Friday, where... the audience here don't know anything about it, so I'll explain. Where they go out, drink an awful lot, and if someone is standing at breakfast time, they get a free one of those morning meals. And this seems a tremendously good idea. Such good incentive to make it...
Very Nimmo challenge.
Repetition of good.
Yes, there was two of them.
Well, people have challenged on if you
remember. That's right. Derek, a correct challenge, a point for that, of course. 4 seconds are university life starting now.
Nicholas Parsons' time at the University of Glasgow seems to be absolutely shrouded in mystery. When did he leave?
Why?
That's what I want.
You challenged. You were challenged long before you got there. What was your challenge, Tony Hawks?
I thought there was a hesitation in there.
Yes. Right, indeed. You got in, Tony, with 2 seconds to go on. University life starting now.
I went to the...
Paul Merton challenge.
Hesitation.
He hadn't even been going for a third of a second. No, that wasn't hesitation, Paul. So, Tony, another point for an incorrect challenge. University life is still with you. 1.5 seconds starting now.
Oh, you look on the bright side of life.
Just a minute. Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Tony Hawks, who at the end of that round has got more points than anybody else, and actually he is in the lead. So we go into the next round. Blythe Duff, it's your turn to begin. The subject is how the other half lives. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
My other half lives like a pig. I've been married for 4 weeks. And it's been a rude awakening, I can tell you. If cleanliness is next to godliness, then he's dishing dirt with the devil. I'm not being unfair, it's just a state of fact. I'm amazed that he seems to think that his attractiveness becomes more when he drinks 13 pints of lager, has a chicken tikka masala and a portion of spicy onion. Perhaps you shouldn't be. Think of a toothbrush which hangs perched in the side of the bathroom. I am willing him to lift it up, raise it to his mouth, but no. He decides he's going to come to bed and reek of some kind of curried delight. Not my idea of a good evening, I can tell you, here and now. Perhaps I should comment about his socks. We could continue. I would like to say that his trainers could probably walk.
Paul Merton, your challenge, yes. Nice. You haven't played it very much, but you kept going for 59 cents. Oh. But you did hesitate just as you got to the wire, so Paul got in first. Paul, 1 second on How the Other Half Lives, starting now.
In Tokyo, they admire.
So Paul Merton was speaking when the whistle went, and as I think Blythe, who's only played the game once before and went for 59 seconds, let's give her a bonus point.
Oh.
Which means she's actually now in second place, just behind Tony Hawks, and one ahead of Paul Merton and Dave Nimmo. And Paul, your turn to begin. The subject, overheard remarks. Tell us something about those in this game, starting now.
Just before I came into this room, I heard two people talking about Nicholas Parsons. They didn't see me there, but I was listening to what they were saying. One said to the other, you know, he was condemned before the Second World War and actually still stands. It's really amazing. The other person says, if you look closely, he's wearing a bag. You can see it. So I said, no, surely not. He says, oh, it's quite true. He's up. And he's proud of it as well. If he gets drunk at parties, he'll take it out and he's been known to... He's been known to pour it into the punch bowl. Individuals. But it's interesting the way the British public have taken the Nicholas Parsons in the same way they used to take the typhoid.
Very memorable challenge.
Repetition of Nicholas Parsons.
You can't have too much of that. I mean, do you want Paul Merton to continue on the subject?
Yeah.
Derek, I'll give you a point for a correct challenge, but Paul gets a point for being interrupted, and he continues on overheard remarks. 28 seconds starting now.
Is it me?
Oh, and you've got it. Yes, yes. I get another point for a correct challenge, Eric, but the subject still with Paul Merton. 27 seconds starting now.
I was visiting this place called Port Merion the other week. I don't know if anyone's ever been there, but I thoroughly recommend it. It's where The Prisoner was shot. Somebody you might know it from that. Wonderful show. And I overheard one person saying to another, you're talking about...
Actually, repetition of person.
There were quite a few persons in your talk about person before, yes.
You
16 seconds available, Tony. Overheard remarks starting now.
I overheard some remarks before I came in this recording world.
Paul Merton Jones.
That's exactly what I said.
But you can say the exact same words as somebody else said because you're not actually repeating them in that particular round, Paul. So is that your definitive challenge?
Yes, it is.
Well, in that case, you're wrong. If you're going for hesitation, you could have had it, but you didn't. So, unfortunately, Tony, you went for hesitation. You've got 11 seconds to continue overheard remarks starting now.
Sometimes you can overhear things you'd rather not hear, like people saying that Nicholas Parsons is the finest man to walk this earth. But I'm only doing this because I know you talk about him. He doesn't let anyone change it.
Tony Hawks was again speaking to Mr. Wayne Gendler, extra point for doing so. He's gone into a strong lead. And Derek, your turn to begin. The subject, objects of desire. Tell us something about that passionate subject in this game, starting now.
I know from knowing Nicholas for a long time that he would eventually give us a George Michael question. I think he's very disappointed because the object of my desire is an actress called Elizabeth Hurley. When she was just out of drama school, she came to audition me for the first job that she ever had in the British theatre. And I sat there with Leslie Phillips, who was directing the play, and she came to the room, and there was this creature of such extraordinary loveliness. She read her little piece, and two old gentlemen got very hot and very bothered. And when she left the room, I said, how good was she?
And Tony Hawks challenged you when you got hot and bothered.
Well, I think you said very hot and very bothered, so two very.
You did repeat very. So, Tony, a correct challenge, 28 seconds. Objects of desire starting now.
With my immense charm and staggering good looks, I have become an...
Derek, you challenge.
Deviation, he's got neither.
But I'm not going to judge on other people's looks in front of this audience or in front of the all the many listeners we have throughout the world. So to some, Tony Hawks is glamorously good-looking. To other, he is, well, they prefer Derek Limmer. So, 26 seconds with you, Tony. Objects of desire starting now.
Now, the fact of the matter is that objects of desire are normally picked by students. They may take a former president as their particular object of desire, or they may go for
Derek Limmer chance.
It is the
may. Yes, they may go, they may this, they may that. And 1 second, Derek, you've gone in with objects of desire starting now.
English walnut pie.
So, Tony Hawks is still in the lead. Derek Limmer got a point for speaking. The whistle went out of points. Let us go Scottish. Auld Lang Syne. That is the subject. Tony, your turn to begin. Auld Lang Syne, 60 seconds starting now.
Auld Lang Syne actually means for old time's sake. And given that the writer Rabbi Burns, who created these words, had 12 illegitimate children, I think it may have been a line he used as part of his pickup receipt. Well, I personally want to have a New Year's Eve party, 1999, where everyone comes round my house, and then at 11:30 I say, would you mind going? I've got to get up very early tomorrow. They will have to see that year in singing the beautiful words, Auld Lang Syne, should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind. And I don't know the rest of it. Getting through into it. It wouldn't be fair if I did my minute with other people singing. I'm sure
Blythe Duff has challenged you, yes.
Sorry, I thought he was hesitating after the first verse of Auld Lang Syne. It's probably because nobody else knows it.
He did. He definitely hesitated and he didn't get it quite right as well, so that was deviation. Blythe, you have the subject of Auld Lang Syne, 20 seconds starting now.
It's an incredible song. It's sung all over the world. In Times Square in New York, on Hogmanay, you find everybody singing it. Isn't that an incredible experience? Does it not build your heart pounds with Scottish tradition and fervour? I can hear you. Yes, it's all been whipped up as we speak here. And obviously, a right good Willy Waught. I bet not one person knows what a Willy Waught is.
Oh. Blythe Duff, the speaker's whistle, and gained that extra point for doing so, and she repeated Willy Waught just after the whistle. Would you explain to all our listeners, not that either Scott, they all know what it is here, but all those Sassenachs who listen to our show and...
A right good Willy Waught is a toast and a cheer, and will you take it with me?
Paul, your turn to begin. Now, here's a subject that's never come up before. Character witness. I don't know how you're going to take it, but talk on the subject if you can, starting now.
About 5 years ago, I was asked by the Metropolitan Police to give Nicholas Parsons a character witness. Apparently, he'd been arrested in the Bulls Pond Road at 3 o'clock in the morning with his trousers around his ankles, shouting out at windows above him, if you want it, lady, I'm ready and willing. This incident was rather nasty and was reported in the local press at the time. I went along to the court and I stood there in front of the judge. I was called into the witness box and he said to me, could you give me your appreciation of this man's character? I said, I have known the individual in question for some 10 years. I have always found him to be honest, upright, and one of the... But I can't keep it up. I said, I really...
I notice you kept up the embarrassing bit at the start very well when you set me off, but once you had a talk about give me a good character, then you faltered, Tony.
I couldn't do it.
I know, Paul, right. Derek, you got in first. There are 12 seconds left on character witness starting now.
I was asked to be a character
Tony, hold on.
I don't know what he was asked to be, but I think it was hesitation.
We call that hesitation, yes, Tony. For 10 seconds, character witness starting now.
I was asked to be a character witness at the trial of Paul Merton after he'd been down the Bald Pond Road shortly after Nicholas passed.
Paul Merton challenge.
Two afters.
Yeah, you were going after him too much, I'm afraid.
After
him.
Travelling home with him as well.
I know you are. Yes, that came up. Last time you were in Glasgow, you mentioned about the movie.
It was such a success, we're travelling home together again.
Ah. And to think this romance first saw the light of day in just a minute. Oh, wonder what we ought to answer for. There are 2 seconds left for character witness with you, Paul, starting now.
So I said to Tony Halls, give us a kiss before we get
started. Right. We have an interesting situation here. Paul Mertzsiegel, who when gained an extra point for doing so, he's gone ahead. He's one ahead of Blythe Duff and Derek Nimmo in third place. And he's only just behind Tony Hawks, who's still in the lead. Derek Nimmo, your turn to begin. The subject, the golden age of steam. Talk on that, if you can, on just a minute, starting
Maybe
now.
The golden age of steam will happen tonight when Paul Merton and Tony Hawks go back on that road. I don't know, however. I lived through the original golden age of steam, which I suppose was in the 1930s and 40s, and how exciting the railway trains were at that time. The London, Midland and Scottish, the Great Western, all these marvellous rails with their own livery. And I used to go down to Crewe Station on a Thursday with my little book published by Allen as a train spot. So right, well done, sir. I used to pick off the numbers as they came past. Goodness knows why. It was the most pointless exercise I can ever think of. But at this particular junction, you saw the best of these wonderful machines in their prime of their steam life. Nowadays, you have to go to India or perhaps to China to see the golden age of steam. But when I saw them here, all those years ago, it was a time of tremendous excitement for me.
It happened last time we were in Glasgow. Someone started with a subject and finished with a subject. It doesn't often happen. You inspire the panelists up here. Fantastic, yes. Derek Nimmo kept the subject right the way through without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. He gets a point for speaking as a whistleman. He gains a bonus point for not being interrupted. He has leapt forward. He's only one behind our leader, Tony Hawks. And Tony, your turn to begin. Winning friends and influencing people. That is the subject. Talk on it starting now.
I have never had a problem with winning friends and influencing people, largely because of my immense charm and staggering good looks.
A good way of influencing people would be maybe to hold a New Year's Eve party. Perhaps sing Auld Lang Syne, perhaps try that line, how about it, for old time's sake. That might work for you. It's worked for many people in the past. But of course, money is undoubtedly the most significant and effective way of influencing people and winning friends also. I use it. I have plenty of it. I'm not only the other things I said earlier. I'm a multi-millionaire. And I'm going to a bar here on...
yes, Paul? If he was a multi-millionaire, he wouldn't be doing just a minute.
He might, because he enjoys it so much. But on the other hand, Paul, I agree. That is deviation, because I happen to know he's not a multi-millionaire.
And...
Well, you've never stood me a drink.
There's another reason for that.
Right, Paul, deviation. 16 seconds. Winning friends and influencing people, starting now.
There was a man called Norman Peel who wrote this book called Winning Friends and Influencing People sometime in the 1940s in America. He died about 5 years ago at the age of 95. I met him once. I found him very, very horrible. What I mean.
Derek Nimmo, Janet.
Very, very horrible.
Very, very.
I had to emphasize how horrible he was.
But if you emphasize in just a minute, it becomes repetition. Derek got in first. 5 seconds, Derek. Winning friends and influence.
Nicholas Parsons is the president of the Lord's Taverners, and he wins friends and influences people. He gave a party this very week for 100 people.
So, Derek Nimmo, speaking as a whistle, and has moved forward. And he's now in the lead, one ahead of Tony Hawks. But it's very close. Only 1 point separates the other two following in descending order, of course. Blythe Duff, we'd like you to take the next round. The subject is junk. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
It's a Chinese sealing vessel, normally of wooden clinker-built construction and gas rigging. The frequent tributaries of the Yangtze River, modern boats in this genre are auxiliary diesel-powered. They're closely associated to the Indian dhow, providing trade along landlocked waterways of Asia Major and Minor. Oh, please, somebody please buzz me.
You learn a lot when you listen to just a minute, don't you? Paul, you challenged. What was your challenge?
Well, I answered a call of nature.
What was that?
Well, she wanted someone to challenge, so I did.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. The call of nature. I thought you wanted to go somewhere for a minute.
For the correct challenge, 34 seconds available. Junk, starting now.
One man's junk is another individual's antique. It all depends what you're looking for, really. I recently bought a table that some people would say, oh, well, that's fairly ugly. It's only got one leg. But I felt sorry for it. So I gave it at home. I rested it against the corner. It's an occasional surface to put cups on, or saucers, or perhaps you can combine the two. Mugs, maybe, would be a good idea. Or plates. Anything at all could be put onto this wooden surface. One day, I decided...
Right, you've challenged.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did. You challenged because he had three oars, didn't he?
I heard them distinctly. I think everybody else did, quite frankly.
There are 8 seconds on junk starting now.
I probably took it from my mother. In Scotland, we called it hoarding. I hoard all the time. I have just repeated myself. They haven't even noticed because they're all asleep, quite frankly. Wants to bug me, feel free to start now. Hello? Yes, thank you.
You've been challenged twice, actually. But what was your challenge?
Repetition.
Yes, that's right. What of?
What of the English words? Words.
Words.
She was going so fast, I didn't get most of them, actually.
That's what I was hoping for.
So, I don't know that there was any word, actually, in that gibberish that was repeated. So I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt, as she's fairly new to the show, and have 1 second left on junk with you, Bly, starting now.
Last year, I was...
Right. So Blythe began with the subject, finished with the subject, and we got that extra point for speaking as the whistle went, and she's now actually equal with Paul Merton in second place, just behind Tony Hawks in the lead, and then it's Derek Nimmo. Paul, your turn to begin. The subject, the Scottish side of my family. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Well, I don't have a Scottish side to my family, so it's quite difficult to talk about it, really. My mother's Irish, and if you measure the distance between Ireland and Scotland at their nearest point, it comes out to be something like 27 miles, which most people didn't realise. I didn't know that until I looked it up in an atlas. They are remarkably close, those two countries. But then if you think of the cross-culture between those particular nations, for example, bagpipes, I think are originally an invention from the Emerald Isle, but were then brought over here. And what a charming wonder. With no good hiss in them. They were centuries ago. You can't do anything about it. You can't reverse the trend of history, as they used to say before the war. And there are other things they used to say as well. They used to say things like, you can't get proud of
it. Derek Nimmo challenge you.
He was doing a lot of says again.
Yes, you say, right. Derek.
I can't help it.
I know.
It's a nervous affliction. And I think it's rather rude to point it out.
If it occurs in just a minute, it becomes repetitious. So Derek got in first, and there are 22 seconds left. The Scottish side of my family, Derek, starting now.
Well, I'm Scottish on both sides of my family. My mother was a Hardy, and my name can only be pronounced correctly in people in the Low Countries of Scotland. Or, you know, it's
Tony Hawk's challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, because he really is in the Low Countries, which is the Netherlands. And not the Lowlands. Yes, so deviations. Well, 12 seconds for you, Tony, on the Scottish side of my family, starting now.
The McHawks were a wonderful family with immense charm and staggering good looks. Bring them in here before you. There would be no doubt if you put it to the vote, everyone here would agree with that sentiment.
So Tony Hawks again got that point for speaking as a whistle went. He's moved forward, but Derek Nimmo is keeping up with him. He's only still 1 point behind Paul Merton and Blythe Duff in that order. And we're moving into the final round. It's still anybody's competition if you're interested in the score, but if you're interested in the fun, keep tuned. Derek Nimmo, it's your turn to begin the subject. Relaxation techniques. Not listening to just a minute, I can tell you. 60 seconds, starting now.
Relaxation techniques. I have a son called Piers James Alexander, and he made this Scottish name that I was talking about a moment ago. And he is very much involved with Buddhism, and he meditates every day, twice, in fact, sits on a board, goes away for an hour at a time, and then comes back in. I don't know quite what he does, but he seems to be singularly relaxed and totally charming because of it. I myself go into a pub, and I find that just as relaxing, and after 2 or 3 glasses of Guinness and maybe the odd margarita, I'm totally happy with the world. Because I do think that an awful lot of time can be spent meditating when one should not really be doing that. I think if you relax too much, perhaps at university, the panel team.
Paul Merton challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, right.
Paul, 11 seconds on relaxation techniques, starting now.
One of the finest relaxation techniques is a flotation tank. What you do is you fill it up with water, then you drink the contents, and by the time you've had all that liquid inside your body, you just feel like lying down for a good half hour.
Paul Merton was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and the situation as we come to the end of this particular edition of Just a Minute is as follows. Blythe, who has not played the game very much, only played twice as a matter of fact, she finished in fourth place but did extremely well, and we're lovely having her back, charming us all here. And then we had Paul Merton, who always charms us with his humour, and he finished in third place on this particular occasion. He was only just behind Derek Nimmo, who was, of course, extremely charming to some people, but not to the chairman. And he finished in second place, but just 1 point ahead was Tony Hawk. So we say, Tony, you're the winner this week. Thank you to these four delightful and talented players of the game, Paul Merton, Tony Hawks, Derek Nomo, and Blythe Duff. Thank you very much indeed. We must also thank Linda Copley, who's kept the score for me. She's been blowing her whistle magnificently and holding the stopwatch. Our producer, Chris Neal, who looks after the show and mother hens us all sufficiently well to make sure that we are all here on time and finish on time. And also the creator of the game, Ian Messiter. From me, Nicholas Parsons, from our magnificent and talented panel, from everybody concerned with Just a Minute, thank you. I hope that you will be tuned in to the same time when we take the air and once more play this delightful game. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye!